Good morning. I want to welcome everyone into this space as we gather for this time of worship. My name is Reverend Dawn Douglas Flowers, and I serve at Parkway Hills United Methodist Church in Madison, Mississippi. So I welcome my Parkway Hills friends and anyone who may be joining us this day in this virtual space. If you're looking for information about the ministry and mission of Parkway Hills United Methodist Church, you can visit our website. You'll find there our newsletter, which we release every Wednesday. You can subscribe to that, but it is the best way to find out what is going on in the life of our church and how you may be involved. And my Parkway Hills friends, be on the lookout. In the next couple of weeks, you will receive a brochure that invites you into a time of reflection as we go into these next 5 weeks together, a reflection about what it means to be all in. Parkway Hills began a journey last year of trying to remove the debt among us so that we are freed up to fully live into God's call to be in mission and ministry within this community and within our world. So this brochure reminds us of that, and it invites you to think about what it means to be all in. This will be a time for us over the next 5 weeks to think about what that does mean to be all in faith, but also what it means to think about our finances and how we can give so that we can give our all to God. So I look forward to these next 5 weeks. Be on the lookout for this brochure and be in prayer with all of us as we discern what it means to go all in because of our experience of God in our lives. But as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day, let us pray. Merciful God, you come into our midst longing for communion with us, becoming one of us. Break our resistance to life with you. Show us the path toward just relations and bring us into your unimaginable peace. May we, this day, in the places and spaces where we are found, experience your great love and grace. May it be so. Amen.
In the quietness of my life, I come to you, thankful for the blessings of the day. Ever grateful for the love you show.
Jesus, for the price you paid.
sermon series at Parkway Hills, looking at characters in the Bible who, despite all odds, despite all that was going on in the world around them, they went all in on faith because of an experience of God that they had had. Today, we begin by looking at John the Baptist, found in Luke 3. And as we prepare to hear God's word this day, let us pray. Holy One, through your Holy Spirit, instruct us by the light of your prophets. Illumine our hearts, that we may hear your call to become your path into the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Here now, reading from Luke 3, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 20. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John said to the crowds that came to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things he had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to give us two images to hold in mind as we think about this passage. The first, I invite you to think about those buildings, those spaces and places where decisions are made in the United States, where the power is. You know, we think of the White House, the Supreme Court building, power struggle that is playing out right in front of our eyes this past week, the Capitol building, the Pentagon. And of course, on a local level, we picture our own state capitol in Jackson, local courthouses and city offices. We can picture these. We can picture the activity that takes places in those spaces. And we can even picture faces of those who occupy these spaces. Now, I want you to hold another image, another space, another figure. Picture those times when you have been somewhere and you have seen individuals who call the streets their home. Or maybe some of you have been involved with ministries that served populations who created their own little tent cities and dwelling places in urban areas or maybe out in the woods. Hold these two images. They give us different feelings, right? We hold the individuals in those places differently. We picture those faces in different ways. We feel differently when we talk about them, and maybe even act differently standing in one place or the other, in front of government leaders who hold a certain place and power and privilege in our world, as opposed to in the midst of those who have no real power, no place. Hold those two images, those feelings, and I want you to listen to the beginning of this passage again. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Anna and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John in the wilderness. In the wilderness. There's so much in the Bible that we have heard so many times, or that we skip over as inconsequential. And this telling of the ministry of John the Baptist, well, to me, it is one of those places. The author of the Gospel of Luke goes to great lengths not to just let us know the timing of when all of this takes place in history, but to show that John the Baptist, who he is, where he is, his status and standing in the world is in great contrast to the elevated places of status and power of his time. God comes to John literally in the wilderness, away from all the buildings and places of power that are in those urban centers of John's day, away from all those rulers named in this passage. The word of God comes to John in the wilderness. He receives a call. You, son of Zechariah, dwelling in the wilderness, go and prepare the way of the Lord. Give knowledge of salvation to the people by the forgiveness of sins, for one is coming who will redeem. Or, as one pastor said, God's saving purpose, not human rulers or the way humans distribute power and privilege, shapes the history of the world in truly decisive ways. I think this is a timely truth for us as a people of faith to hold, that God's saving purposes, not human rulers or the way humans distribute power and privilege, shapes the history of the world in truly decisive ways. Our God doesn't work in the world in the ways that the world would tell us to expect, or maybe even in the ways that we would like God to. A timely message, as again, we watched a Supreme Court confirmation hearing play out in front of us, and as Election Day inches closer, our God moves and speaks and meets people in the wilderness. Now, I don't say any of this to say we as Christians should just separate ourselves from the power structures. No, that to me would be an easy way out. Almost to say, I don't have to worry about any of that. No, the challenge in this story, well, it goes deeper. John hears a call and goes. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and crowds came to be baptized. And my favorite part of this passage is that real life question that those in the crowd ask: what then should we do? Individuals hear John's message. They are moved by it. They want to be part of it, but they have one question. What then should we do? What should we do? We are tax collectors. We are soldiers. We exist within a system. Our lives, our jobs, our way of being in the world exists within the system of which we are a part. So what do we do? What does it mean to be a person of faith within all the moving, complex pieces of our world, our work, our lives? And you know, John doesn't say, well, don't be tax collectors, don't be soldiers, you can't live this way. No, John says, be tax collectors, be soldiers, but don't let the acceptable systems and practices define you. No, repent, be shaped by a new way, a different way. And John's message, repent, simply says, turn away from one way of living, turn toward the way of the Lord. And it is so radical that by the end of this passage, those seated in the places of power, well, they have put John in prison. John the Baptist is this first character that we will look at as we enter into this new series, All In. Over the next 5 weeks, and as we approach Thanksgiving, we will look at characters who had an experience of God that called them to approach their days in a different way. Characters who, despite their station in life, despite the expectations of who and how the world told them they should be, despite maybe the world crumbling around them, they chose to go all in, to dive into a life of faith, and to listen for how God was leading them to live a life of faithfulness in the midst of their day-to-day life. And for John, well, going all in, well, it begins by accepting the invitation to enter a life of faith through baptism. A baptism for him marked by repentance and forgiveness of sins. Come to the waters, John says. Receive this gift of grace that is a fresh start, a new way. But that is just the first step. The rest will be the day-to-day activity of choosing a life oriented toward the way of the Lord, a life that embodies the way of the Lord. And for John, in this passage, walking in the way of the Lord meant something pretty simple: caring for those who have none, no power, no place. What then should we do? Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise. Now I know what you were all thinking, but it isn't that simple, Dawn. No, it isn't. We have named that. We ourselves often ask, what then should we do? What does it mean to be a person of faith within all the moving, complex pieces of our world, our work, our daily lives, to daily choose to walk in the way of the Lord? Well, I don't think I can give you a step 1, 2, 3 answer that you can go off into your new week with, but I do want to give you another image to hold today that maybe helps us sort through it all. So in Madison, in the Madison area, this past Thursday, a new project began that will affect the daily routines of some of our residents. The Hoy Road construction began, and it is projected to take around 18 months to complete. Now, during this time, the road will only be one way, and those of us who are used to traveling this way will have to use the detour or find a new way to travel. Now, road work isn't new or uncommon. I mean, for those of us who live in this area, just think of how long it's taken Highway 49 to be completed. I don't think you can take a road trip without stumbling upon the inevitable road work at some point along the journey. Road work is part of the journey. We won't be able to stop it no matter how hard we try or how much we wish to do so. It will be a thing. We will encounter it because, well, road work is required. What does it mean to be a person of faith within all the moving, complex pieces of our world, our work, our day-to-day lives, to daily choose to walk in the way of the Lord? Well, it means acknowledging that road work will be part of the journey. You can kind of hear it in the message that John the Baptist quotes from the prophet Isaiah. Prepare the way. Make the paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough made smooth. Road work is required. It's part of the journey. We won't be able to stop it no matter how hard we try or how much we wish to do so. It will be a thing. We will encounter it. It will be part of how we exist. For John, a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins was this first step of realigning one's heart and life in relation to God's agenda. It served as an invitation, turning away from something and turning toward something else. Baptism signaled a new day has begun in the one baptized, not by their own efforts, but only through the action of God. And it is this initial first step that will give comfort, guidance, and grace through all the twists and turns, all the detours, all of that necessary work along the journey. What then should we do? We lean into a God who doesn't work from the places of power, but meets us in the wilderness places. And we cling to the grace present at our baptism as we strive to be persons of faith within all the moving, complex pieces of our world, our work, our daily lives, knowing that road work is simply part of the journey. Today, within the life of our church family here at Parkway Hills United Methodist Church, we have a couple within our church family that is bringing their son forward for baptism. Mark and Megan Maharter, well, they're bringing their son Briggs forward to receive this sacrament of our church. And yes, while Briggs cannot yet speak for himself, his parents, Megan and Mark, they come forward proclaiming that they are all in, as so many parents have done before them. They come saying that with God's help, they will live the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will embody faith, hope, and love so that Briggs will learn to trust God and live love's service in the world. And we as their family of faith, we celebrate this baptism with them. We give witness to a God of grace who is present with Briggs. The beginning of this journey, this entrance for Briggs into this family of faith. And we will pray for him along his journey of discipleship among us. And we know that road work will be part of his journey. We won't be able to stop it, no matter how hard we try or how much we wish to do so. It will be a thing. Briggs will encounter it. It will be necessary work. And when he does, may he go all in, leaning into a God who meets him in the wilderness places so that he may, as our baptismal vows say, renounce, reject, and resist. For those of you watching online, we weren't able to participate fully in this sacrament of holy baptism, but I do want to remind my Parkway Hills friends of the commitments that we make at baptism, that Briggs' parents make for him this day, and that hopefully he will grow into and confirm and claim for himself later in life. But we do renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of our sin. We accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. And we confess Jesus Christ as our Savior. We put our whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as our Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. We, as a family of faith, we promise to join Briggs along this journey of faith, to pray for him and to know his name. I hope that you will reach out to Megan and Mark sometime this week, that you will say congratulations and celebrate this moment in the life of Briggs and the life of this church family as we welcome another one of God's children into this space as he begins his own faith journey. But now, I invite us into a time of prayer as we do acknowledge that we still question, what then should we do? How do we move into a new week? Preparing the way of the Lord. We celebrate Briggs' baptism. We celebrate our own. And if there are those watching who are curious what baptism may mean for your life, I hope you will reach out to myself or one of our staff, and we would love to be in conversation with you about what the sacrament of holy baptism means for us. But now, let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord of life, you call us to prepare the way for your reign by bearing fruit worthy of repentance. You lift up a vision before us of a world that is shared and fair, where needs are met and no one is outcast. Baptize us fresh in your spirit as we come to you in prayer this day. We pray for the nations of the world, both allies and enemies, for their leaders and their people. Make yourself known to us all, that all the peoples of the earth may live in justice and peace. We pray for your church here and abroad, that we hear your call for justice as good news for all people. We pray for peace in our world, especially for those caught in war and for all who live in fear of violence, extortion, threats, and false accusations. We pray for those who suffer from natural disasters, from hunger and cold. Lead us to share our food and our coats with them. We pray for the frail, the sick, and all those whose hands grow weak. Lead us to help them with gentleness. We pray for those who are disabled, oppressed, or outcast among us. Change their pain into praise and let their courage be renowned in the world. We pray for the earth, from which we draw our health, our strength, our inspiration, and for all the living creatures in whose community we live. God, we pray and celebrate with Briggs and his family this day. We celebrate baptism, this gift of invitation into newness, into wholeness, this gift of grace that does indeed nourish us for the journey. God, we pray for ourselves as your church, that even as we encounter the roadwork, the necessary roadwork, you will be with us, offering us guidance and direction. God, we lift all of this up to you because we know you are in our midst. May you renew us in your love. Surely, God, we can trust in you and not be afraid no matter what we encounter on the journey. May you lead us in songs of praise and shouts of joy, for you are in our midst. We pray through the one who baptizes us, not only with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I hope you will join us in these next few weeks as we do go through these characters in the Bible who go all in with their faith because of an experience of God, despite all the things going on in their world and in their lives. As we close in song, may you use the words of this song to reflect on your own gift of baptism. And again, if baptism is something that you have not received and you're curious about what it may mean for your life, our church is here for you, and we would love to be in conversation with you about that. Go in peace, my friends.